be seated. I want to say that if you, even before the service, during the service, during worship, if God speaks to you and you feel that you want to share something with the whole congregation, then please, we don't hesitate to do that. We want you to encourage you to do that, because God works in our lives constantly. So please don't be afraid. Come to me or one of the elders. Tell us what you want to share. Tell us what God has done in your life. Even we also, feel that I have to share this now. You know, we are a charismatic church, so we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, as in 1 Corinthians, was given for the edification of the church. So if you feel that you've got a prophecy or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or even a tongue with an interpretation, come and share it. Amen? That's how it should be happening. So I just want to encourage you in that. Even in small groups, that's the best place to practice. We all need to practice because we make mistakes, and small groups are the best place to practice. Make a mistake and go on with life. You know, if you don't become a Springbok rugby player, you don't play for Manchester United, but if you haven't grown through a few mistakes, if you haven't grown from your little first team in school, so all of us need to grow, but you start somewhere. Amen. I don't know why I said that. That's not what I want to talk about. If you can picture the church as a tree, we're quite full here this morning. It's nice. But if you can picture the church as a tree, think of a tree in Swakopmund, you have to think far because we don't have them here. We have to plant them and water them. And then they grow slow. I'd love a big garden. So my wife has got green fingers. She does have the ability to even make things grow in Swakopmund. But anyway, if you think of a big tree in Namibia, we've got these camel thorn trees, Kameeldoornbome. And the church should be like a tree where the world can find shade under our branches and where they can be pulled in. But the last few weeks, we've been talking about the fruits of the tree. We've been talking where we want to go to as the church, what we want to accomplish and what we want to achieve. Haven't you heard that? These sermons of crossing over, and God wants us to do this. And even in small groups, we've been talking a lot about strategy, and this is how we're going to multiply. And so for some people, it can sound like, whoa, you guys are very methodical here. Is Jesus really that methodical? So that's, we always preach about those things, and that's where we want to go to. We want to reach the nations. We want to expand, and we want to bring people in. But this morning, I know that if this whole thing, this church, everything that we preach, if the roots are not founded and rooted in God, if everything that we do is not out of a deep relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, we are going to miss the mark. We can have lots of programs and plans and stuff, and it might work, and it will work. Because, you know, a business that is run on a good sound business principles works. So a church that has certain structures in place that works, the church will work. But if it's not founded, rooted in a relationship, deep one, with Jesus Christ, maybe Jesus will one day say, I don't know you. No, I'm not trying to scare anybody here, but I'm just going back this morning, and I want you to picture that, is that the deep things there, the what's going on, the why are we here? The what? Why are we doing what we're doing? And that can be a question for a church. Why are you so busy? Why are you doing this? But it can, and I want to focus on that this morning. It is, Theo, why do you serve me? Why do you serve me? Pete, is there a Pete here this morning? Pete is always a good word, name to use. But Pete, why do you serve me? John, why do you serve me? Why? Who are you? I mean, it's very quiet. But I want to bless us here this morning with this message, and I really feel that God wants to do something in our lives, because sometimes the world and its pressures, you know, and we do all the things and we grow, But some, I'm telling you, if the foundations are not right, at some stage this thing is going to collapse. In your life, you can be a pastor, a minister, a small group leader, whatever you. The devil will be at you. He will be coming at you. And if the foundation and stuff is not right, the thing is going to crumble at a certain stage. And, you know, you don't overlook pastors or whatever. They go through the same thing. They even become more busy and then they neglect the issues of life. Amen. Now the first scripture there, Deuteronomy 4 verse 29, it says, so my topic is seeking the Most High, seeking God. But if from there you will seek, inquire for and require as necessity the Lord your God, you will find Him if you truly seek Him with all your heart and mind and soul and life. So we're talking this morning about seeking God. Now in this scripture, it's the Amplified. It says, if you inquire for and you require as a necessity. It's like almost like we spoke about 2 weeks ago, water. It's a necessity. You need it. You can't go without it. But if we really have to think about it in our lives, if we just do our thing during the day, is God really a necessity for us constantly? And you know, this scripture uses the word seek. It doesn't say look for. There's a difference between looking for something and seeking it. Okay. Are you with me? If you seek something, it's not something, what were these shows that they had, Skattejacht, treasure hunt? They had these clues of where a treasure would be, and then they have a few clue, and they would fly with a chopper and try and find it. You know, it's not looking for, oh, where's my pen? Oh, there it is. No, it's seeking. There's a clue, there's a treasure at the end, and they go and they look for it. Now, when I was little, my grandmother lives, who knows where Witvlei is? Five people, praise the Lord. Witvlei, who knows where Gubabes is? Go babies. As it? Go babies. Gubabes. Okay, well, it's 50 kilometers this to the west. If you drive fast enough, you won't see it, but it's there. So my grandmother lives there, and there's this little mountain there. And we would always go there as children to go and visit my grandmother. It was boring, I tell you. Man, there's nothing to do in Witvlei. So what we would do is we would go up this little mountain, because that's the only thing around there. It's this little koppie. We would go up there, and my brother and my sister and I, we had a little, now in Afrikaans the word is a bender, but gang sounds like bad. What's such a good word for a gang, a good gang? A club. We had a little club gang that we had a little coat of arms and what we did and what we stood for. So what we did was we would go up this mountain and we would write all these things and we say that we are the members, Theo, Corneille and Jeanette, my sister, I can't remember what we did. And then we would fold it up and we would wrap it up, and they had these little caves, not massive stuff, I mean small, but all the dussies, badger, what's a dussie? Dussie. They would live in these little caves. So we would take this thing, wrap it in plastic, and bury it there. Because we know we come and visit our grandma every now and then, so we'll be back. So we would go up there, we'd find a cave, we'd bury it, and then we'd go home, and then after a year or 6 months, we would come and visit, and every time we would go and look for it. Oh, and then, oh, we find it. It's wonderful. Then we open it up, and we read it, and then sometimes we add something. Now, can you see the picture? We always had to go and look for this thing. We had to go and seek it. And it was wonderful when we found it. I also remember another thing that we did is we chiseled our names on the mountain. And it's now, what? It's probably 20 years now. My goodness, I'm old. But 89. Well, that is 20 years. Man. Anyway, so the little package got stolen or eaten by dussies. I don't know. We can't find it anymore. But the names are still there. Amen. But this whole thing about seeking, you know, we always enjoyed that, because we went and looked for this thing and we found it. Amen. And this scripture says that we must seek God. We must look for Him. It must be like a necessity for our lives. But the problem is, I'm just sharing a few things here this morning, is that we live in a world now, I don't know, you know, are we so much Western or so developed? I don't know, but we can have pockets in Namibia where people are very developed and we're very Western, then everything needs to happen quickly. You know, if you get these 2 minute noodles and you get the 2 minute whatevers, wives don't have to cook too much nowadays. They can just go to Woolies. Ooh, yeah, no, so can we look at? And they can buy something and they can put it in a microwave 2 minutes. And it works and it's nice and it does work. We have SMSs, we've got all these things. Everything is supposed to be quicker. And now sometimes we come to God with this mentality. I just want to find you now. Where are you? Why aren't you coming through? Because my SMS goes through quickly. The funny thing is that I see with emails, oh man, at work, I don't know, 30 years ago they didn't even have fax machines, let's say 40 years ago, fax machines. So how did they communicate in the business world? But they had to type things out. How they copied it, I also don't know. I was just after that generation, so I'm in the digital generation. But it seems to have worked. They still could do their work then. They still designed buildings. They still had businesses that ran properly. Now we have emails. Man, the only thing I do during work is answer emails. And so my point is, I don't think it's quick, but it's not that quick. You know, it seems to be quick, but there's so much admin nowadays that I actually don't know if it is really that fast. But we come to God with that expectation. When we have a problem, when we have a situation, then it's like, God, I've been seeking you for 5 minutes this morning, my quiet time. I don't have an answer yet for this issue. And God doesn't work like that. Amen? It's very quiet here this morning. I was hoping people would be more excited. Colossians 4 verse 12. It reads, this looks like a good name for my son. Heidi, what do you think? Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Mature and fully assured. You know, I want to tell you that you can be a Christian for 20 years or 5 years or 1 month. But there does need to come a time in your life when that's, like that scripture says, when we are mature and fully assured of who we are. When God has sorted out the root and the deep things in your life. And where when somebody presses on your button, the wrong button, that there doesn't jump out another demon or some anger issue or something, or that God can't use you. Some or other time, God wants us to grow to a place fully mature and assured of who we are so that He can use us in what He wants us to use us. Amen? Can you see that? And many times in my life, in all of our lives, there are certain things, you know, they don't disappear with a quick little prayer, 5 minutes by me or an elder. There are sometimes deep things that we need to struggle through with God and say, Lord, what is this thing? Why am I not getting over this? But we want a quick fix, and God doesn't want to give us a quick fix. Amen? So we can live a life of avoiding these deeper issues in our life. We can always address the issues on the outside, on the peripheral, on the boundaries. But we can never, and life makes it difficult for us nowadays. It's not easy with all the attacks that we have and all the financial breakdowns and whatever you want to call it that one has in life and family problems. You know what happens? We start to build these walls around our heart because we want to protect ourselves. We don't want to get hurt again. But you know, God wants to get through to those things. And we can live a life where we address the issues on the outside. Yeah, I've got that little sin and this, I'll address that. But we never allow God to go onto the inside and do His surgery there, like a surgeon would do, and say, let me look on the inside. Let me sort this thing out on the inside. This root, what are you? Who are you? Let me come in. Let me sort it out. But it's very easy, ask me, to just avoid those things. You can live past it. You can look happy. You can sing like this. You can jump. You can do whatever you want to. But we can so easily avoid that. But God does not want us to do that. Amen? Luke 19, verse 1 to 10, or I'm not going to read all the scriptures. This passage of scripture speaks about a man called Zacchaeus. Let me read. He entered Jacob and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now let me just explain that. Chief tax collector. I don't know to what one can compare them nowadays, but this was done in the scripture was written in a Roman Empire stage. Rome occupied lots of other countries, and they had all kinds of tax collectors, people in their provinces that would collect tax from the non-Romans. So if they were in Israel or wherever they were, they would collect tax from those people. Now this man, Zacchaeus, was one of that. But what in most cases happened with these tax collectors is they stole money from people actually. They collected more tax than what they had to collect. And even if they didn't collect too much, just the fact that somebody had to pay some Roman Caesar somewhere that we don't even know was already enough for them. So these guys, these tax collectors, were these scheming dudes. They were constantly scheming, and people did not want to see them because they were a pain where you don't want the pain. Amen. So Zacchaeus was one of this, and I don't know if you've been in your life through a stage, maybe before you were saved or whatever, that when you are in a sin, some other type of sin, you know, it breaks you down. It's like you can't and you don't want to come close to God because the sin is in your life. You might not even be a Christian, but it's that sin, that thing that keeps you away from God. That sin that does not allow you to enter, because the moment you come closer to God, this sin is, you're faced with this thing and you can't get through it. You can't get to God unless this thing is sorted out. And we know that Jesus Christ comes to sort it out for us. But Zacchaeus was this type of man. Probably walked around with so much guilt that, yes, he liked what he did, probably because he made lots of money. And it says afterwards that he wanted to give back the money. But he walked around with this identity problem. Or it's like, I'm constantly being somebody, doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing. What am I going to do about it? And as we, as Christians, well, who can one compare with that? Bad lawyers. Not good lawyers. But you know, we sometimes, we don't like them. We don't like to mingle with those people that steal our money. The tax man. Anyway, so this is the background. So Zacchaeus was this type of a man. Constantly battling with what he's doing and what people see his identity in life is. Jesus did not have a problem with that. Amen. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, now just look at what Jesus sees. Okay, you'll see in the a couple of scriptures later. Jesus does not see what everybody else sees about this man. He does not see the man that everybody wants to get rid of. Can't we just get rid of these tax collectors? Poor old Zacchaeus, probably struggling with these things. What am I doing? Why am I doing these things? Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. This is quite a challenge for us, you know, just as pastors. Because it's, you know, I guess the same thing can happen if we go to some drug addict or some drug dealer or whatever. And then everyone would say, why are you going to those people? Jesus did not have issues because he created Zacchaeus. He knew what he was about. He knew why he was created. All the stuff that's happening here is peripheral. I want to get to his heart. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble. I said that. And verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. And you know the scripture afterwards where Zacchaeus says, I'm going to change my life. Basically, the man got saved right there and then. Jesus touched his heart, but Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you're not who you're thinking you are. This guilt trip that you are on, this thing that you're struggling with, you are not that. I did not create you to be that. I created you to be a son of Abraham, a son of God. And God sorts out that root issue in his life right there and says, Zacchaeus, stop. I need to speak to you. There was obviously a tugging in his heart. He wanted to come to God and he says, I'm going to help you here today. I'm going to give you your true identity and who you are in Christ. Can you see what I'm saying? But Zacchaeus could have continued with this lifestyle of just, I don't know how to get out of this. I'll just continue with what I'm doing. But somewhere he had to come and meet Jesus face to face. Amen. And I'm not talking to unbelievers only here this morning. I'm talking to us. There's another example in Scripture. Genesis 32 speaks of Jacob. Now, if you've listened to Pastor Fred's sermons, he preached about this specific issue, but I just want to lift it out. And this morning, I really want us to search our hearts to just, you know, there can be some fences that we build in our lives, and God cannot come through. But let me not get ahead of myself. Genesis 32, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him. Now in Scripture, lots of people say this is God, and I personally also believe that this is God. But Jacob is having a wrestling match here with God. And Jacob, if you know the history of Jacob, is when he was born, his brother actually was born first, and he grabbed onto his heel, and he pulled himself, and he came out first. Later on, Jacob wangles his brother Esau out of his birthright. He schemes him out of it. So Jacob is walking around with this, you know, look at what I've done in my life. I've been scheming. I've been avoiding the real issues in my life constantly. I haven't come to terms with who I am, with who I am in Christ, who I am in God. So this wrestling match is going on, and then God says, the man asked him, what is your name? Now it's not like God didn't know his name. Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Then to go to the next slide there. The word Jacob means heel catcher or supplanter. What does that mean? To take the place of another. Scheming. So God was asking him, not Jacob, what's your name and your surname? And if you're like me, an Afrikaans guy, I would have to say a long list of names because we have long names. My mother's got three names and then a surname. I've got two. You don't want to know my name. Theo is in there somewhere, but there's a lot of other things. So I don't know, there's this battle in our marriage. What are we going to call our kids? Is it going to be these old Afrikaans boer names? Or it's going to be a cool, funky surfer name. So I don't know. I'm still praying and fasting about this thing. Because, okay, luckily my parents aren't so traditional. So I don't think they'll have a lifelong issue with it. Maybe for a year or two. No, I'm joking. Anyway, I always had to wrestle through this thing, my name, when I was at school. Now I'm blessed with it. And especially when I go overseas, people think, wow, that's a cool name. It's Johannes Theodorus Potgieter. It's long, eh? So I had this is my issue that I had to battle through school. Anyway, where was I? Oh, so God doesn't ask Jacob, listen, what's your name? He says, who are you? What does your name mean? Tell me what it means. And Jacob is struggling with this thing. He says, it means a schemer. I've been scheming my whole life. I've been dodging issues all my life long. That's how I got past things. That's how I managed, is by scheming. Jesus didn't ask him, what's your name? How's it going? He was saying, who are you? What's your identity? In what are you rooted? What's holding you together? And then Jesus says, or God says, no, but you're not going to be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. He will rule as God. So God changes him there. God changes his identity. God tells him, you're not who you are at this moment. Please break down the fences so that I can get to your heart. And you know what? In our lives, many times we'll have to get to a place like that. And there's a scripture that says, I'm just quoting God, I don't know if it's loves a contrite spirit and a broken spirit. But sometimes we have to come to God, and not with the peripheral issues, but with the real things, and say, Lord, just please, why have you created me? What is my identity? Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? The first thing that we need to seek is we need to seek true identity. And I don't know how you grew up, where you grew up, what has happened to you. And, you know, I can just imagine people that grow up in a family where there's fights and all that stuff, or there's even abuse in that family. You're walking with this stuff. You can get saved, but you're still walking with this identity issue. That Jesus wants to come to you, and he says, he wants to talk to you face to face, deep unto deep. The scripture says, what are you? Who are you? Why did I create you? Amen. So the first thing is God wants us to find true identity. And I can tell you that unless one sorts that thing out in our lives, it always just manifests some other time. It can take 5 years in ministry, wherever you are, in work, family. And after 5 years, you just had enough. And you manifest something. And you're like, what happened here? It's that thing that has not been sorted out. That deep unto deep that Jesus wants to speak to us. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Amen. Because if we want to build a tree and a church, and it's built on some other foundation that's not going to last, the devil will go for that. He will go for that identity. He will tell you, who do you think you are, Zacchaeus? You're a thief. You're a tax collector. You steal people's money. Jacob, you're a schemer. You're not supposed to be walking with God. You're not supposed to be carrying the blessing of God. And you know how many Christians walk with those battles in their mind? Oh, look, Lord, look how I grew up. Look what I did. Look at the things that I did. The second thing is, why? Why am I here? You know, so many Christians, you can get them saved and spirit-filled. After 2 years, they still have issues. They still battle with something because they don't know, why did God create me? What is my purpose on earth? And yes, our primary purpose is just to worship God, to give Him glory, give Him honor. So I'm a firm believer in that one must pray for people that they'll understand their calling and what they must do. But we must also just be careful that it doesn't just go on to works. And this is what you need to do. It's about relationship. But so many people walk around with, why am I here? Why was I created? And your role models in life, parents might have always said, you're not going to make it. Look, you've got C's again, not A's. So you walking around with this stuff, I'm not going to make it. Why was I created? Why can't I just get a breakthrough in life? Philippians 3 verse 12 to 15. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. This is Paul speaking. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. You know, Paul was, he was captivated by what God has called him to do. He knew exactly why he was created. He did not have an identity or a meaning crisis. What's the meaning of my life crisis? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. It says that I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That upward call, that thing that Jesus has created me for. And you know what? Jesus does not share those things lightly. What do I mean by that? He does not want to tell you those deep things while you are running on some tangent, while you have not come to terms with yourself, why, when you don't come and seek His face, come close and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He's not going to scream over all the other 10 voices and say, stop! This is why I made you. He's going to wait. Because He wants to heart-to-heart time with you. Amen? Is everybody here? You know, I don't want to scare you. And many times our lives are filled with stuff. Filled with stuff. And it's cool if you have stuff in your life. If you do stuff. But it's just that time where God wants to really speak to you. It's not going to happen through me necessarily or somebody that prays for you. The best things that God wants to tell you, He wants to tell you face to face. He wants to tell you. He wants to say, Theo, I know you struggle with this. I know you have got shame in your life. You think you're not going to make it. This is what I say. This is why I made you. And you know what? People can tell it to you 20 times. It won't help unless it confirms something that's in your heart that Jesus has told you. Seeking His presence. Psalm 105 verse 4. Seek, inquire of and for the Lord and crave Him and His strength, His might and inflexibility to temptation. Seek and require His face and His presence continually, evermore. Seek Him continually. This morning I just want to encourage you to seek God's presence. You know, maybe you've never done it. Maybe you don't know how to do it. Just try something. Just say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm seeking Your presence. But I'm getting somewhere. Proverbs 7 verse 15. So I came forth to meet You, that You might share with me the feast from my offerings. Offering diligently, I sought Your face and I found You. Like I said, maybe I can ask this morning, you know, how diligent are we? And I'm the first one to put up my hand. I'm not diligent. You know, because there might be an issue, or this is the thing, and we've prayed 5 times, and then we're saying, Lord, you know, I don't know if You really want to bless me in this area, because I've asked You 5 times, 5 seconds times 5, 25 seconds, that's what I've asked You, why haven't You come through? So it's just something that I want us to get by and get past, you know. It's like that story that I told you when we looked for our treasure, and we looked for it, because there were quite a few caves we had to go through. We had to seek it out. It took time. And God does not always want us, He's not always going to just give us the answer in 5 seconds. Diligently, just seek Him. And you know, there are many times we've got struggles and issues in life. And we share it with people, and we pray for it, and they pray for it. But we never come to a place like Jacob where we bring that thing before God and say, Lord, I'm going to wrestle with You until You give me peace in my heart about this specific issue. I'm not letting You go until I have peace about this. If it's your husband that's not saved, Lord, I'm going to wrestle with You. And you know, you might not get the answer that he's going to get saved in 2 months' time. But you can just wrestle until you have that peace in your heart. Yes, I've spoken to God. I've got peace now. I've got peace about this issue now. Many times we've got financial issues, we've got marriage issues, but we never bring that thing before God where it's Him speaking to us and saying, Theo, I'm going to sort out your marriage. There's nothing wrong with my marriage. But where He says, I'm going to come through. You might have a recurring sin in your life. God, why does this thing resurface every 5 months? What is this? And God will show you. It's that identity issue. I did not create you to be like that. You're trying to manage something that I want to get rid of. Can you please surrender it? Then I can get rid of it. Amen. Psalm 91 verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable. David wrote this. David knew exactly that he could do some stupid things as well. But when he had to face some giant somewhere or some battle in his life, He always knew where to run to. He would go and the scripture says he would strengthen himself in the Lord. He would have some wrestling time with God, some one-on-one, and say, Lord, you told me to be king and to lead Israel. There's a giant. What do I do with this giant? Are you with me? Yes, you're with me. Then he goes. Then he conquers. But he hears. Amen. But the challenge for us, is everybody still here? Phew. I don't want to scare everybody. Please come back next Sunday. Psalm 46 verse 10, and I've mentioned this. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That word be still means cease striving. Forsake. Weak. It actually means weak. Make yourself vulnerable. Oh man, I tell you, for a man. Even in marriage, we don't want to be vulnerable. When we watch a soppy movie, we prefer it when the lights are off so that if we cry, you know, the wife doesn't see. But they cry. They don't care. They just cry when it's a heartier movie. But we don't want to show too much emotion, you know. We're supposed to be strong. And I will come to God like that. No, Lord, I don't have a problem. But this one says, you know, be weak. Stop striving. Be still. And many times there can be so many voices in our brains. It's your own voice. It's the work's voice. It's the boss' voice. It's the pastor's voice. It's the small group leader's voice. And you're trying to make sense out of all these voices. And it's the devil's voice. And sometimes we just need to get to a place. But I can tell you, in our time and what we're living, it's not easy to get those all those things out and tell them to, please keep quiet so that you can hear what God is saying. Life goes past us frantically. There's deadlines and there's stuff. And there's church meetings and elders meetings and small group trainings and all of that stuff. And that's wonderful. But if it does not come from that place where we've heard from God, where He says, do this, it's not going to work. Amen. Are you with me? And I can tell you that there are two ways, I think. This is just what I think, how people can avoid the issues. The one is they add stuff in their lives. They're busy all the time. You can't get a word in, and God can't get a word in. God can't ever get you to stop because you're just adding things in your life to make yourself busy, not to get to that issue because you don't want to talk about it. And so you add, and you're busy, and you will never get to it. But you also get some people, they are recluses. They go off and they separate themselves and they build a little hut or whatever and they sit there and nobody can talk to them. But the problem with many of those people is that they still don't deal with the issue. Nobody can get to them. God can't get to them. They just remove all the things, but we still don't get to the root issue. Amen. But I believe God wants us to not be like that. Carol, can you play for us? But you know what? I was praying for somebody this week. And I think that as I'm preaching here, people are now actually afraid to hear from God. Because our impression of who God is so warped sometimes. The last thing, and I'm speaking from my own life, is sometimes we don't want to go quiet before God. Because what is He going to say? Because you know what you're doing. You know where you're failing all the time, where we are failing all the time. And you're so afraid, like, Lord, I don't want to be still. I don't want to be quiet. Because I've got 40 issues. I don't want you to talk to me about my 40 issues. Please, my problems. I can't handle it. You know what that meant? That approach is fear-driven. It's absolutely fear-driven. And I can tell you, it is throughout the church. It is throughout believers. We sometimes are so afraid because we don't know what He's going to say. Because it's vulnerable. We're weak. We're just surrendering everything here and we're vulnerable. Jesus can, but you know, it's because we know what the world does to us. When we're vulnerable, it attacks us. That's the time when it comes and it slams you. If you've been in an abusive home or whatever, you don't want to be vulnerable. You don't want to be weak because you can't afford to be weak because you're going to be taken out. But Jesus is not like that. I was praying for somebody and so many times we're afraid when we come to God because we don't want Him to talk to us. We don't know what He's going to say. Maybe we won't like what he says. Look at what God said to Jacob. He said, you're not a schemer. That's what you've been doing, Zacchaeus. You're a thief, yes. But I have not created you to be a thief. You're a son of Abram. Jacob, you're Israel. You're going to rule with me. 1 John 4 verse 18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. This is how we go to God. We're afraid because He's going to punish. It's a approach. The root is fear. It's not Jesus. And so, he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. It is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently shall find me. Can we just stand here this morning? There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. Father, we thank you this morning. Or let me, before I pray. I think, I said yesterday, I SMS'd some people in church, the elders and so on, that God really wants to do something special here this morning. I feel that there are people walking around with this fear of punishment. You know what I'm saying. You know you need to come and go, be close to God, be close with God, but it's the scariest thing in your life is to just sit and be quiet and hear what the Almighty God says about you. You're afraid to wrestle with God because you don't know what He's going to say. Because you're looking at what you've done in your life, what you've achieved, you're looking at family history, you're looking at all those stuff. And the last thing you want to do is to surrender all of that and say, Jesus, speak to me. You don't want to break down those fences in your heart, around your heart, because you are afraid. We are afraid. And I just want to speak the love of Jesus Christ into that situation here this morning. When Jesus Christ died for us, He made it available. All that sin, all that stuff was put on Him so that He can die. When Jesus sees you, when God sees you and you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, He sees a son of God and a daughter of God. Perfect. Created in God's will. Perfect. No blemish. Nothing wrong. That's what He sees. And that is what He wants to tell us when we come to Him. He might say, I want to help you with this and I want to help you with that. But primarily, He wants us to come to Him so that He can just talk to us. Deep stuff. Identity, meaning in life. So I know there are some people here this morning, and people, I'm working through the same things. But you're afraid to be exposed before God. You're afraid to just come and surrender everything to Jesus. And I want to pray for you. So as we bow our heads now this morning, if you want prayer in this area of your life, and I know there are people here, please don't be shy here this morning. We're going to trust God to just break something in your life. And the elders and people must come and help me to pray here. But if you want Jesus to just touch you this morning and come and talk to you about your identity, come and talk to you about your meaning of life, why are you here, then I just, as our heads are bowed, is there anybody like that? Quickly raise your hand. Just raise your hand quickly if you want prayer in that area. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Come forward quickly and let's just trust Jesus to bless you. You can come forward quickly. And the elders, and Richard and Isaac, come help a bit. You saw? Just come forward. And I also want to just ask if there's anybody here that has not ever received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, it all starts here. It all starts with that issue. Have you given your life to Jesus? It's a relationship, like we said, with him. And if it doesn't start there, it can't continue anywhere else. Is there anybody that has not received Jesus Christ and wants to receive Him? Can you lift up your hand if you're there somewhere? If there's somebody like that, we're going to close off now. You can also come forward. We'll pray for you. But I'll just close in prayer now, and then we're going to pray for these people. And you, we're officially over, and you can have some refreshments at the back. Lord, we thank you this morning. Our Father, you're smiling this morning. You're smiling over all your people that you've created. You're smiling over these people here in front and everybody that's here. Father, help us to just lighten up. You're laughing over us this morning. You're dancing over us. Your scripture says that you toil, you dance over us because you are so excited about us. And Lord, help us to just shake off this religiousness in our lives and just have a passionate relationship with you. Father, thank you that you're also a gentleman. So you're not going to force yourself on us. You're not going to force your blessing on us. You're not going to force us to open up. But when we open up, you're going to be there. And Lord, we just thank you that you bless everybody that's been here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want prayer, you can come forward. We're going to pray for you. Thank you for coming.